So the biggest challenge when you are 70 years old, now, so the biggest challenge is to get the end client serious about you. Because the if you are 17 and a thin guy, like the person who is an ultimate client, he thinks that you are just a college kid trying to earn extra money. You are not that serious about the job.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of Hustle with Hussain Saifi. In this episode, I'm going to share an interesting interview which I did with Startup Monk. In this interview, I have talked about the journey of starting up, what are the common problems which you face and how to overcome them. Hope you will like this. Continue hearing.
A very warm welcome to all you people out there. This is your host Manan with a new episode of Entrepreneur Stories by Startup Monk. Today, in conversation with us is Mr. Hussain Saifi, the founder of HackerKernel, an IT services company from the land of Bhopal. Hi Hussain, nice to have you here. So, what exactly does HackerKernel do and what was the story behind starting this company up? Could you like, just share a bit of data about the company with us?
So, hi Manan, thanks for having me. Basically, HackerKernel is an IT service startup. We have started it back in 2000. I started it back in 2015. It was not planned. I was eventually doing freelancing to pay my internet bills. But doing so, I started to get more and more projects. And once I started to get them, I started to form a team. And that's how eventually we build a company which is doing decent in Central India. We are basically into building products, SaaS applications for startups and corporates all over the globe. We are into mobile application development for companies. We are into portal development, SaaS products development, and recently we have ventured into visual effect graphics and animated videos development.
So apart from these development services that you provide to corporates, you also have like two products, which is one of that is FastWeb, and there's also this physiotherapist management software. So could you like just share a story about how these products came into being? Like, what was the idea that prompted you to go ahead with these products for your own company?
These are not our product. These are basically our partnership. We are the technical partner for these two particular products. So the first one is Fast2SMS. It's an AI. It's a old website. It was the Fast2SMS was launched back in 2011 by a guy named Siddhant Jain. And he was a first generation entrepreneur. He started back in 2011 when he was in school. In 2016, to be very precise, I met Siddharth, and then we get into a strategic technical partnership in 2017. So it's till date it has developed into a AI based bulk SMS solution, which is so smart that it can detect from which SMS provider you get the best SMS delivery and send your SMS to that particular SMS provider. Let's say you get a good delivery rate from Idea. So the next time anyone send SMS to Fast2SMS to your number, we will send you SMS to Idea. So that is the whole logic behind this solution. We have built it so transparent. The SMS industry was very stagnated, and it was fake. It was full of fake deliveries. People used to sell SMSs in 5 paisa or 10 paisa and show the fake deliveries to the client. But it's not even possible because SMS are way cheaper, way costlier than those guys are selling SMS. Ultimately, you need to buy SMS from the telcos. You need to buy SMS from Jio or Idea or Vodafone. You need to buy SMS from them and then resell it. So people were selling it in the lesser cost than they ultimately get it from telcos. So the ultimate reason for earning was they were showing fake deliveries to the client. So we made it so transparent that we don't show any fake deliveries. All the deliveries are real time. As soon as the SMS are sent to the recipient, and we show the delivery report to our user. Also, SMS, there were caps in SMS delivery. Earlier, people used to ask you to buy at least a lakh SMS or 10,000 SMS, but we made it so simple that even a small shop owner can use the SMS. He can do a recharge of rupees 10 and start sending the bulk SMS.
So, moving over to the next question, what has been your approach towards work? What is the company's approach towards work? Also, how many employees do you currently have in your company?
We have over 30 or maybe 32 employees till date. Our work approach was very clear from the day one. I was from a technical background. I was not from a business background. So my approach was that we should have solid technical knowledge, and we should invest in newer technologies. So till date, we have the same DNA. We invest a lot in the new technologies which are upcoming. I see some of the new technologies like Flutter, React Native, and VFX to be coming in India soon. So we are heavily investing on those technologies. We have a small R&D department where we try to educate students through internships and all, so that they could be trained for the next generation technologies. And also, we have a very informal approach. We don't have a strong hierarchical structure where our employees need to go from manager to the main boss. But we have a very flat hierarchy where employees are very treated like a family, and those they can give their best output.
So, Sayan, you started quite young. You started when you were 17 or 18 years. Okay. So, what have been some of the biggest challenges starting out as a teenage entrepreneur and eventually building a company out of that phase? So, what have been the challenges and the high points of that journey?
Absolutely. So, the biggest challenge when you are 70 years old, the biggest challenge is to get the end client serious about you, because if you are 17 and a thin guy, the person who is an ultimate client, he thinks that you are just a college kid trying to earn extra money. You are not that serious about the job, so he takes you very lightly. So the most important and the most difficult thing is to explain your expertise to him, that no, I know my shit, what I am doing, and I am the best at what I can do. So that is the hardest part. The second thing is to figure things out. People, as you are 17 years old, no one is to teach you how to get clients. No one is to teach you how you can do contracts. No one is to teach you need to build proposals. You need to divide the projects in 2 parts or 5 parts. So no one is there to teach you. No one is there to teach you how to price the cost of the project, how to deliver in time, what are the legal things. If client missed the payment, what you can do to get the payment. No one is there to teach you. So the ultimate guide, ultimate teacher is your failures. You need to understand and learn from your failures and then learn accordingly. So I have did the same. No one was there at the time when I started. Many people had advised me that you were good in tech, you should skip this, you should not do this, and you should take a job. You should take a job in an IT company and live freely. So many people had advised me that, you are not from a business background, you can't do that, or you can't do this. So I would just say one thing. People should understand that if they want to do this bad enough, they can do it. The ultimate thing is you need to learn everything every day. Still today as well, I have done a good amount of work. I have been excelled in the project management stuff and coding stuff, but still I am learning. Nowadays I am learning marketing and growth hacking and all those stuff. So people need to learn continuously. People after reaching a point where they are earning good amount of money, they stop working hard. They start to take all the things they have for granted, and they stop working hard. So I believe the person should work hard and learn continuously. Point which I have was, if I can remember, it was getting my first client. I was basically I got my first client, which was of 5,000 rupees. But the highest point was when I got a corporate client, which was of around 18,000 rupees. I still remember, I can't remember the exact price, but this client was there's a good local company named Amina Mehndi. These guys are manufacturers of Mehndi products, which So ultimately I met him and got a e-commerce project for his particular venture. So that was the first high point of my life, because I got the second project. And after this project, I thought, okay, so I can do something with it. Because after the first project, there was a gap of 2 to 3 months. At that time, I was not having any work. I was just learning new stuff, putting out on blogs and all. But I was not having any serious work. So this was the second project. After that, I understand, we can do something with this. And another high point which I remember was when I was started. I'm a big I'm very good with the numbers. I like to build targets every time. I build targets for months. I build targets for quarter growth. I build targets for year growth. I was back in 2017. I believe I was building a target for 1 lakh rupees. Revenue for a month. So I built a target, but we missed that target for around 3 to 4 months. But at the time when I hit the target, so I was very happy. So that was the biggest high point I remember still date.
So Hussain, you have started up in a city like Bhopal, which is not known in the traditional entrepreneur stories. Traditionally come from these metro cities like Bangalore or Delhi. So what have been some of the advantages and disadvantages of starting up in a small town like Bhopal and then building a company from there on?
Sure. So the biggest challenge building a company in a tier 2 city, which is not that famous for startups, is you are not that much recognized. And firstly, when you say that I am from Bhopal, people think that you would not have that much skills, and you would not have the exposure to certain stuff. But it's not like that. Today in the world of internet, world is more open and connected. I'm sitting with you today and having a call. So it's as simple as that. I can get connected with any person. The second biggest challenge was to get good experienced workforce over here, because the thing is, pay scale in Bhopal is not that high, and job opportunities for IT is not that matured over here. So people, all the talent from Bhopal, we have good engineering colleges and good institutes and all those kind of stuff. But people from Bhopal tend to move to Indore, Delhi or Hyderabad or Bangalore for jobs, in particular if I talk about the IT sector. So that was the biggest challenge, to retain the workforce over here and pay them good amount of money so that they can stay in Bhopal. The biggest advantage we believe we had in Bhopal was the cost. We saved a lot of money over here, which has helped us to stay relevant, because we were able to give a competitive price to other clients, and which has also helped us to make our cost low. We talk about rent, we have a 2500 square feet office. So if that office would be in Delhi, it would cost around 60,000 to 80,000 rupees per month rent. But over here in Bhopal, it costed around 20,000 rupees. So that was the basic difference between. This is the money which we have saved, and we have forwarded that to the client so that we could get as much budget as we can. So that was the basic advantage which we gained over here in Bhopal, because the cost for living was very cheap.
So Hussain, we see a lot of entrepreneurs these days trying to build $1 billion businesses, like what the unicorns and all these tags that come with entrepreneurship. So what is your take on this, people who are building up $1 billion businesses without even validating their ideas further? And
absolutely. So I believe you can't build a $1 billion business if you are not clear about the ideas, because the VCs are, whatever the VCs are funding you, they know what they are looking for. But I would like to add one thing over here. People chase valuation and funding. The ultimate goal, I meet a lot of startups in every event in Bhopal and Indore and all other places, but the most, every student want to get funding. They want to, they jump into the VC, they mail VCs, they send SMSs on LinkedIn to VCs that they want funding, they have a pitch, they want to pitch it out. So their ultimate goal is to get the funding. So that's their end goal, that's their achievement. They are not looking to build a sustainable sustainable business. They are not looking to get profit. They are not looking to build a sustainable business which can earn them money in the long run. They are just looking for a valuation XYZ amount so that they can get the money from the VC, get a good salary package for themselves, get a good bike, get a good laptop for themselves, and they can enjoy the success of a startup. Nowadays, I see we value success on the basis of valuation, but ultimately valuation is a number. You can't take valuation home. Like if you say that a company is a $1 billion valuation, so ultimately you are just talking about numbers. That's not the actual money that company have, or that's not the actual amount of money they earn. It's just a valuation of that company. So it's after a certain point, it's just a number, and people just go after that number and try to get XYZ amount of funding from each and every funders and want to raise as much money as they can. But I don't think that's the right way to go, because the right way to go is to for any startup to earn profit, because I firmly believe profit is the oxygen for any business to thrive. So it's very important for your business to earn profit. If you can't earn profits, then you are out of business.
So what has been HackerKernel has been completely bootstrapped from the beginning, no?
Yeah, HackerKernel has been completely bootstrapped from the beginning. We started from 5,000 rupees, which we have earned from my first of the client. And then from till date, we have been bootstrapped. We have some, recently we had an opportunity to get some round of funding for our company, but we didn't take it because I was more of the concern that we are currently knocking down all the marketing and project management stuff. So once we knock it off, once we make it stable, then we will go for any round of funding. So currently we are fully bootstrapped.
So Hussain, you talked about marketing a business, also that to bootstrap business. So what can you give some tips to entrepreneurs who are bootstrapping their businesses and also at the same time looking to market themselves aggressively?
Sure. So I'm a big Gary Vaynerchuk fan. Basically what I learned from him is to look for opportunities. Like the attention is the best way. Let's say you are into chocolate making, you are a homemade chocolate company and you are trying to sell chocolates. So the best way you could market is, the traditional way is to run ads, distribute pamphlets and all other stuff, which is obsolete nowadays. The best way you can do is you can set up an Instagram profile, build 1 minute videos where you explain what type of chocolate is good and what type of chocolate is best for which age group. So you can just inform people, educate people, give them value. If you give those people value, you would be recognized by them. Let's say you built a video in which you explained how to make a homemade chocolate, and a guy named Ram has viewed that video. He viewed that video, he liked that video, and he moved on. And later on, after a week, there was a function in his family where they were throwing a party. So that Ram would suggest his mom to buy chocolate from you because he has seen you as an expert to deliver chocolates. So that is how the old things work, because the attention is the best way to grab any market. The thing is, the ultimate thing is you need to put in effort. If you can create videos, you can create images for marketing. The ultimate thing is you need to consider how to give value to the end customer. You can't sell products all the time. You need to give value to the customer. Like how can you do this? How can you do that? Once you give, then you can ask for the end customer. Also, one more thing I would like to suggest is if you are into B2B, you could try LinkedIn. LinkedIn has a great what we call reach. Instagram and Facebook reach has been dismantled. The thing what I mean by reach is, let's say you have 1,000 followers. So currently, if you put a post, all the 1,000 people will not see your post in Facebook and Instagram. Facebook and Instagram will show that post to certain people. It's what I believe they call it ad rank algorithm. where they show that post to certain people, and if on the basis of response from those certain people, they will show to certain more people. So this is how those work, because the reason why is because they are promoting ads on their network, and LinkedIn is still growing and it has not a big ad network. So if you have 5,000 followers, so you would, whenever you post something, you all those 5,000 people will be able to see your post on this feed. So this is why if you are into B2B, you should absolutely go hard on LinkedIn. Try to put out content, try to give value to your community, and that's how you can grow. Also, one more tip I would like to give is, you could, if you have certain money, so you could start using Instagram story ads. Instagram feed ads are little expensive. If you have certain money, you can start using Instagram story ads, which are relatively cheaper and giving more conversion rate currently.
So Hussain, in the past 5 years, we have seen the government bet heavily on startups.
Yeah.
Like, they have been very aggressive to develop India as a startup economy. Yeah. What has been your experience, in terms of the government schemes and plans to promote startups and entrepreneurship in the country in the last 5 or 4 years?
Sure. So I don't have like much experience on that part, but what I have seen is, in the start, I was a single person running the company, so I had registered a sole proprietary firm, and later on, once we grew after a certain point, so my mentors advised me to get it to private limited. So at the time of all those registration, private limited registrations, at the time the speed was very, so at the time of private registration and all those things, the speed was very fast. Earlier the process used to take a lot of time, but this process was like made it fast, so that the person can get a company registered and a person can get his company registered early. So that was the only experience I had with the government, because I never, we were completely bootstrapped and we were generating a good amount of revenue. So we never approached any bank or any institution for a loan or something of that kind. So I don't have much experience on that part. But for the registration part, I was really impressed with the speed and all.
Okay. So on a concluding note, what are your future plans? Like 5 years down the line, where do you see Hacker Kernel heading towards, and what are your plans to achieve that growth strategy?
Sure. So from the five years down the line, I have said this multiple times. From the 5 years down the line, I want to be the biggest IT company from Bhopal, which is doing the business, biggest Indian grown IT company from Bhopal. So that's how we see us. Also, we are trying very hard to diverse into new markets, which are VFX and game development. So I believe by 5 years down the line, we would have a decent hands-on experience on VFX and games market, because I think VFX is an industry which is maturing, and a lot of work from Hollywood and eventually will come to India once we are much more experienced in the part. It would be what we had in 2000s, the IT boom, we would have in 2025 or 2030, the VFX boom. So I believe we would be ready before that boom.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Hussain, for your time.
Thank you.
We hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and keep listening to the podcast.